Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to another edition of Zone for Construction. I am Keisha and I am your host. So today I wanted to talk to you from a thought of don't let Goliath distract you. So in the book of Samuel, there is the epic story about the battle between David and Goliath. And a lot of times it's told, but I don't think that we really understand or really look at it in a manner where we see all that's going on. So here it is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Goliath steps on the scene with his with the army, and the army of Israel is, you know, on one side, the Philistines are on the other side. And here it is, Goliath steps forth and he challenges the Israelite army, Saul's army per se. And so it develops into this epic battle, but within this epic battle is just so many things that take place. And so as I was reading this a couple of days ago, it just really blew my mind. So let me give you the setup. So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 8, it says, "Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me.'" First and foremost, Goliath steps out, and as normal, he's a bully. So of course he's like, "Who are you? I'm big, bad, and all this, and what he perceives as a bag of chips, right?" So he's trying to convince the army of Israel that they're not anything, right? So go with me to, let's jump down to verse 10. 1 Samuel 17, verse 10 and 11. And it says, "And the Philistines said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard these words, the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." This is the setup. So hold on. We're going to go one more scripture. So it says in 1 Samuel 17 and 24, it says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man," meaning Goliath, "they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid." Here it is. So again, there was an epic battle. They lined up. Goliath came out and he scared the army of Israel. And so just remember that. Okay. So here it is, David's response, or we'll just say God's response. So David came down and David said, First Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. "Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him,'" him being the giant, being Goliath, "'your servant will go and fight with the Philistines.'" So I wanted to encourage you, don't let Goliath distract you. So what was the problem? First off, let's just talk about Goliath. A lot of times when we read Goliath, we kind of gloss over. And so for you to really understand the magnitude of what the army of Israel was facing, Goliath was the Philistines' champion. All right. He stood 9 feet tall. It's even said in scripture that his coat alone weighed 125 pounds. Okay, his coat. Not him, but his coat. He 9 feet tall, got a coat that weighs 125 pounds. The shaft that his sword went into weighed 15 pounds by itself. Now this Goliath was a massive dude. Right. So, of course, you see this, they see this guy step on the scene and they're afraid. Now, what's important, what I thought about was, OK, they all lined up for battle. So Saul had his army and the Philistines had his. They didn't have to agree for one person to fight Goliath. It's an army. Right. They could have definitely took them and be done with it. But any bully comes with what? Fear tactics and intimidation factors. So when Goliath came out, you have to understand Goliath didn't challenge them because Saul and his army were pushovers. No, it wasn't like that. They didn't have a resume. If you look in scripture, it tells you that Saul's army had several victories, several Remember in John 10:10, the first part of that says this, that the thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly, right? So let's go back to the first part of John 10:10. Here's a thief that's coming to steal all of Israel's stuff, right? Because in his battle, he said, Goliath said, hey, if you win, we'll become enslaved to you. But if I win, you become our slaves, right? And that's within chapter 17. So here it was, this bully coming to take all their stuff, like everything. Okay. So again, a thief is not going to come to you unless you got something valuable or he think that you got something he want. Just pause for that a second. Goliath didn't challenge them because they were pushovers. Why would a bully challenge you if you a pushover? There's no challenge in that. A pushover may not have what a bully wants. So basically this challenge, right, is to prove something, right? He says, I come to defy this army. Defy is openly resisting and refusing to obey. It appears to be, it's a way of challenging someone to do or prove something. So what was Goliath and the Philistines trying to prove? That Goliath was better than Saul's army? Obviously, Goliath had no clue who God was. Okay, let's go back to the battles. Saul's army had a number of battles that they had won. Okay. They had a history. The military history was that, these are all in the book of 1 Samuel. So here it is. They beat Jabesh and Gilead. They beat Gibeah, Michmash, and Eliah. Those are the battles that they had won, and not to mention the Amalek. So here it was, they had a track record of victories. Why? Because the Lord was already on their side. So how is it then when Goliath steps on the scene, they forget, right, that they have defeated all of these, you know, these different nations or these different tribes or villages. They've won in these different battles. But of course, when Goliath shows up, they're cowering. The Bible records that they are dreadfully afraid, as though the Lord had not just delivered them and gave them victory in these other situations. And this isn't the first time in biblical history that a similar situation like this has taken place. Remember when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and they were in between the promised land and Egypt, where they had just come out of. They were murmuring and complaining and forgot that God had unleashed the 12 plagues. They had forgot that the Lord had just closed up their enemies in a body of water. Like they walked over, that God allowed Moses to split the Red Sea. They walked over on dry land. I don't have time to bother that. But they walked over on dry land. Nothing hindered their walk. Nothing hindered their progression. And when the enemies tried to pursue them, God closed the Red Sea, just laying waste to their enemies. But when they got into the wilderness, or when they got in when they were in between, oh my goodness, that'll preach itself. When they were in between where God wanted them to be and where they just came from, they were complaining and murmuring and even saying, hey, we should have just stayed back where we were. We would have been in a better place. And so God says, listen, I'm going to put a pin in that, and I'm going to let you walk around the wilderness for a couple years, and then we're going to revisit it. Right? So here we come to Saul and his army winning all of these battles. And now Goliath shows up. Goliath represents whatever challenge you have in your life that appears to be too big for you to handle. But I got good news. It may be too big for you to handle, but it's not too big for God to handle. And so here it is, Goliath practices these fear tactics, right? He comes on the scene, he looks big, he looks bold, and he's got confidence that he can shake the army of Israel. So he starts issuing these threats like, you know, am I not Goliath? Am I not a champion? Da, 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 this, that, and the other. But it's important to understand that while men look at the outside, God sees the inside. God sees your heart. God sees your motives. God sees what people don't see. So we go and look and understand it. Even in Galatians, when I talk about Goliath coming and the Philistine army coming to defy the Lord and Saul's army, understand that Galatians 6:7 will even tell you, don't be deceived. God is not a God that he shall be mocked. That's what he's not about to do. So even though a situation may seem big, it's not bigger than God. So what was God's solution to this problem? God says that the scripture tells us that he takes the simple and small things to confound the wise. Well, at this particular time, what did it look like? God sent David. Remember, this epic battle was between Saul and Goliath. So sometimes when you don't act and when you don't do the things that God has set for you to do, make no mistake, God does have a ram in the bush. We saw that with Abraham and Isaac. So David comes on the scene and David looks like he don't have a clue about war. David didn't look like much to others. We see even his older brother in verse 28 is upset and he asks him, what are you doing here? He even thinks that his brother just comes down to be nosy. His older brother didn't realize and God didn't tell him that David was on assignment. God does not tell everybody everything pertaining to your assignment. Because sometimes people, as my pastor would tell you, sometimes the people are not triggered until you show up to do what God has called you to do. And this is why it's so imperative to know what God says about you and understand that God has equipped you for whatever assignment he has created you for. And so like here, even not just David's older brother, but even even Saul didn't think that David knew anything about war. And so to back this up, 1 Samuel 17:34-37 says this. So this is when David comes on the scene, right? He says, but David said to Saul, wait, first off, let me back up. So basically Saul doubted his capabilities in earlier verse, I think it was 33, he told David, he said, you look like a young man. What do you know about war? What do you know about fighting? But David was like, hold up, pause. Let me let you know what I'm working with. So David ran down his resume. David said in verse 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 34, he says, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when the lion or the bear came to take the lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. Pause right there. David said that there was always something to come and try to steal what they possessed. But God gave David the ability to deal with a lion and a bear. Greek mythology will probably put him as Hercules. I'm going to put a pin in that and we're going to roll with it. So he says, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and shook and struck and killed it. He's talking about the bear and the lion, right? He says, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. I'm going to pause right there. Let's go back and pick this scripture apart. So here it is. David is saying, listen, when the bear and the lion came to get the sheep, understand the lamb was inside the mouth of the bear or the lion. So David had to pry its mouth open to retrieve what, man, listen. God said, listen, David said, I had to go and try to get what the devourer was trying to devour. Okay. Cause I'm going after my stuff. So David was not allowing the enemy to come in and steal what was his. A good shepherd. I don't even have time to bother that. But here it was, a lion and a bear. Both of them are fearful. Both of these creatures are fearless. Like, they are, I mean, come on, the talent, the claws on them alone, not to mention their mouth, their teeth, honey. So here it goes. He says, I grabbed it by its beard. That means that David was in close contact. You think about it. He had to pry the mouth open to get the lamb. And David is in close contact. It doesn't say that David left unscathed. It doesn't say that he didn't get wounded. I'm pretty sure that if you battle in a lion and a bear, you're going to get some cuts, bites, bruises, whatever. Right. But God had given him the strength to overtake his enemy. David here is more than a conqueror, because he conquered his opponent, which was the bear and the lion. And so he says, listen, this Philistine right here, I'm treated just like the bear and the lion. So I already have the confidence that God has already given me to fight the way that God has intended for me. And I can defeat this giant, regardless of what everybody else thinks at this particular time. Just because somebody else is afraid does not mean that you need to be. If God has given you a holy boldness, if God has given you and told you specifically that this is your assignment, you go forth, you walk in faith, you do what God has told you to do. You fight how God has told you to fight. You use the weapons that God has told you to have. He says that what our weaponry is not carnal, but mighty in the spirit. Mighty in his spirit for the pulling down of strongholds and every imagination that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So here we go. Goliath is doing what? Saying he's bigger than anything on this earth. But God says, I'm not a God that I shall be mocked. Don't be deceived. Remember, sometimes you got to put, there are times where you have to pull out your resume and let people know what you're working with, as David did with Saul. Saul was just looking at what he saw. Saul's emotions was already probably all over the place. They all were scared. They had forgotten that God had caused Saul and his army to be victorious. So God said, don't worry about it. I'm going to send David, because I'm about to blow Goliath's mind. I'm about to blow all their minds, because what God will do is he will use the uncommon thing. He will use the simple thing. And what is simple? The fact that you believe that through Christ Jesus, you can do anything. David did what others could not do because of his faith in God. He was not intimidated nor persuaded or convinced that he can do the task that God had sent him down there to do, which was to take care of Goliath, take care of a problem that seemed to be too big for anybody else. David remembered that through Christ Jesus, he could accomplish everything. What does that mean? Well, he said, listen, I done defeated a bear and a lion, and God has delivered me from that. And I came out victorious. So even the latter part of that even comes, he says, in the latter part of, I think verse 37, it says, and moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. I already know what God has done. And I know that if God did it then, he'll do it again. Because I have faith and I'm in right standing with God. And so, and it says, listen, it says, Saul said to David, go and the Lord will be with you. So here it was. Sometimes people need to be reminded of what God has done in their lives. You have to remember what God has done for you. But sometimes God will cause you to be the solution to remind people what God has already brought them from. Because truth be told, sometimes we're in the thick of a situation and with our emotions. And this is why we have to make sure that we have dominion over our emotions, because sometimes our emotion clouds our judgment. It clouds the things that we see. It causes our view to be skewed. You may see this giant challenger. God may be calling you to do something that's way out of your comfort zone. And truth be told, no, you can't do it by your own ability. God says that with Jesus, you can do all, through Jesus, you can do all things. Yes, God has given you skill sets. God has developed you. But there are some things that you have to stand and believe that God is going to do, even if you don't see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. And that's in Hebrews. So sometimes we have to understand that seeing is not believing. You see with your heart. You see within your heart. You see the things that God has desired for you to do. Sometimes your eyesight will fail you, because though it may look like a situation, what is God prepared to do? I always say, when I get into certain places where I myself am like, okay, God, I don't know about this. I go back and I'm like, okay, God, but you did this here and you did this here. And I know I heard you then and I hear you now. So God, I know what it looks like, but I know what you can do. Because even in this, David was being prepared for his next. See, David was next in line to be king. And so David had to understand, and David had to come against big challenges, challenges that seem intimidating to others. Because when you're a king, or when you're a governor, or when you're a leader and over some things, there are things that are going to come that you have to maintain your resolve. You have to maintain your standards. You have to maintain your confidence, not in yourself, but in God that works within you. He says, what? Greater is he that dwells within you than he that dwells within the world. So here it was, God was preparing David for his next. Was he going to stick to what God had already developed him and taught him? Was he going to go and deviate and do his own thing? And even more importantly, God didn't even tell Saul that he allowed the next king to take care of his problems. Oh my goodness. We could talk about that all day, but as my pastor would tell you, I don't have time to bother that. We'll get to that in another segment. As God's, with God's outcome, not only did he, was he preparing David for his next, God was David's publicist. Here it is, David comes down. He defeats the giant. He defeats Goliath with what? A slingshot and a rock busts Goliath straight up in his forehead. And then he grabbed Goliath's sword and cut his head off. Remember, Goliath was 9 feet tall. The cover for his sword was 15 pounds by itself. Goliath's coat was 125 pounds. So here it was, David did something that other people couldn't do. So a lot of times we allow other people, or we even talk ourselves out of something that God says that only we can do. Just because somebody else may not have the faith that you do does not mean that they're bad people, does not mean that they are beneath you. But you got to understand that what God calls you to do, half the time to normal people, the math ain't mathing. Because God does not work on our standards. God works on the standards of the kingdom. The scripture tells you that his thoughts and ways are much higher than ours. So you have to believe and trust God. God says he will never leave you nor forsake you. He says he does supply every one of your needs according to his riches and glory. He says that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in you. The power in you to believe that God says that he's going to do what he's going to do. Believe that his word is going to perform the way that he is designing, and believe that God has everything in control. And the power in you to have faith and believe and don't doubt. And even in this, the outcome of this, we see that David didn't do things Saul's way, but David did things God's way. He did it the king's way. And so that's imperative. As God sends you on assignment, and God tells you, gives you certain things to do, make sure that you do it God's way, right? So we talk about the slingshot and the weaponry and the arsenal that God had given David. So when Saul blessed David and told David to, you know, go ahead and go out to battle and do, you know, let the Lord, you know, keep you and guide you, whatnot. Saul actually tried to put his armor on David, assuming that David was supposed to fight the way Saul was fighting. But what Saul didn't see is David already came battle dressed. He had the armor of the Lord on. He already had Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. David already had the belt of truth, because he knew that God could deliver him because he's done it before. He had the breastplate of righteousness on it. So him and God he was in right standing with God. His feet was shotted definitely with the gospel of peace, because he wasn't afraid. He had peace and understood that whatever was about to happen, God was about to do it. His shield of faith deflected all the things that everybody else was telling him. Oh, he's such a big giant, we can't defeat him. David was like, nope, my shield of faith. He was like Captain America. Oh, you ain't getting through. I'm using my shield. I'm deflecting all of this other foolishness because I know what God has said. David had on his helmet of salvation. In other words, in his mind, you couldn't persuade him that what God had planned for him was not what God was about to do. You could not convince David that he could not defeat that giant. You couldn't. There was no way. Because while everybody else was running scared, David said, don't let no man's heart fear. I will take care of this problem. He said, I got you. Even back up, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this little man that defies the Lord? God is bigger than all of our problems. God will bless us only if we let him. The problems that you can't handle, the challenges that you know you can't handle on your own, let go and let God. ask God. He says that we can ask, when we lack the wisdom, we can come to God and ask God for the wisdom. God is not going to rub it in your face how many times you ask him, but he's going to give you the wisdom liberally, as many times as you need it and without reproach. He's not going to rub your face in it, but God wants you to ask him. But oftentimes we feel like sometimes we so independent, we can handle it ourselves. But truth be told, how can you handle something you've never faced before? Uh-oh. So you got to get help. And God says, hey, I'm right here. All you got to do is ask me and I'll give you the instructions. Matter of fact, not only will I give you the instructions, I will teach you how to fight. I will give you the arsenal that you need to overcome every one of your challenges, to overcome every obstacle that's put in your way. Remind you, Goliath only showed up because of the different victories that Saul and his army was already getting. Challenges will come in life, but it's how you deal with that, how you cope with the things that come up. Will you allow it to destroy you, or will you stand flat-footed and trust God? God is there. He said he will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. Take God at his word. Man may fail you because we're human, but God has already been tested. Jesus has already been tested and proven. He is victorious. He is Lord of all. At the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow. It didn't say every knee can decide whether it wants to bow. No, every knee has to bow. Every tongue proclaim. Even the enemy shiver when Jesus come on the scene. But you have to remember what God has said about you. Remember that your weaponry is not carnal. It's not according to man's standard, but it's according to God's standard. Your weaponry is not carnal, but mighty in the Lord's spirit. Don't do things man's way. Do it God's way. Do it the right way. The word of God tells you obedience is better than sacrifice for the long run. I'm so serious. Obey God, even when it don't make no sense, because God sees what you don't. God has already walked out your steps before you. He already has your life planned out. And even in the outcome, when David defeated the giant, when David defeated Goliath, there were so many things that came out of it. His actions and him defeating that giant liberated so many. What do I mean? Not just the army of Israel, but the people that lived in that region. They were not enslaved. They were not captives. They were not held hostage. They could live, for lack of a better word, their best life. So when God sends you to do something, when God sends you to fulfill an assignment, make sure that you're focused. What has the Lord assigned you to do? What has he told you? What are the things that he has given you? How has he told you, how has he equipped you for the assignment? Don't be distracted by the fear and doubt and things that seem to be too big to handle. Don't be intimidated by the unknown. Remember that through Christ Jesus, you can do all things because he strengthens you. Understand that not everybody will understand or support the purpose, and it's okay. But never forget that God is the one that empowers you. God is the one that empowers you for the assignment that he ordained you for, no matter how difficult, how impossible it may seem. Though it may be difficult for you, it's never too difficult for God. Trust and believe God. He says he orchestrates your steps. He says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In other words, don't lean to what you think you know, but acknowledge God in acknowledge him in everything that you do. In other words, come to him with all of it and watch him direct your pathways. He'll direct you out of harm's way. He'll direct you into an open door that will change your life. Do it God's way. Remember the promises and the provisions that God has set for you. Remember that he will supply everything that you need to fulfill your assignment, whether it's development, whether it's improvement, whether it's breaking you out of relationships that are not good for you, whether it's open doors that you need to go through, whether it's causing you to expand and grow exponentially, whether it's discipline. He supplies everything that we need because he knows that we need development to steward the assignments and steward the things that he really wants to give us. He supplies all of your needs. He supplies what you need and who you need. God does not have stuff. So don't allow Goliath to distract you. Remember God's promises and his provisions. Use the arsenal that God has given you. Prayer, praise, worship, fasting, his word, and above all, Jesus. God gave you the greatest gift when he gave you Jesus, right? Jesus done been through it all. So he gave you a navigator and the Holy Spirit. And so make sure that you believe God. You believe in God. You believe that Jesus was sent for you and I. He wasn't just sent to die for us. Yes, He was sent to pay the ultimate price, but he was sent to be our guide, to lead, guide, and direct us. He was sent to make sure that we have a life full of purpose and fulfillment. Expect God's word to perform it. A lot of times we pray for other people, but you don't expect God's word to work for you. Why not? Why not? And I'm guilty. I have been guilty of that. I have prayed for so many people. I've seen so many different results for so many other people, but I never really expected it to work for me. Why not? Why not? Expect God's word to change your life like you see it change everybody else's. What he does for one, he will do for another. God is not a respecter of person. And walk in faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. Don't worry about what it looks like. Just know what God can do. And believe God to do what he said that he's going to do. God does not lie, nor does he ever have to repent. And he does not ask anybody's opinion pertaining to you. When he created you, if he wanted you to be like everybody else, he would have created you to be like everybody else. You would look like them. You would talk like them. You would act like them. Even identical twins aren't identical, because God has still made them different. Though they may look identical on the outside, God has still created them differently. If God wanted you to be like everybody else, you wouldn't look the way you do. You wouldn't be the height the height you are. You wouldn't talk in the manner in which you talk. God decided that when he brought you in the earth, he said he had need of you. And whatever God's assignment is for you, believe he done walked it out. Though you may not be able to see it, though you may be in a place that you like, God, I don't even know about this. Trust God. God has got it. Trust and believe God. God, take God at his word. Take God at his word in context. Read the word of God in context. One of the scriptures that I hear so often is, now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we hope or even think. And usually that's where it ends. But on the back end, he says, according to the power that works in you. So what God can do is according to what you can believe and what you have faith in. Because he says, according to the power that works in you. Because the first part of scripture says, that's Ephesians 3:20, I believe. The first part says, now to him who is able. God is able to do and blow our minds. But he's not going to force us to believe. So if God has told you something and it ain't working, go back and check your belief meter. Go back and check your faith indicator. And as people say, get your faith up. Build your belief up. Ask God, Lord, help my unbelief, and watch him work. So I thank you for tuning in. I hope that this has blessed you. Definitely, if it has blessed you, share it with somebody else, because somebody else probably needs to be encouraged when Goliath steps on the scene. Just remember that no matter what challenge you endure, God is bigger than your situation. God is bigger than the challenges that you face, and he wants to help you to overcome them. So don't be distracted by Goliath, but stand strong, stand steadfast, abounding and moving in the things of God. Listen, thank you for tuning in to Zone for Construction. If this topic has blessed you, do me a favor and be a blessing by sharing it with someone else. So until next time, may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Be blessed.